The following podcast is brought to you by the new AT&T.
Claire tries to swim with the fishes, fate puts a death sentence on Charlie, and Desmond goes back in time. Or does he? We'll have commentary on all that and more coming up in today's official Lost podcast, hosted by ABC.com. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Chris, and in today's installment, we'll take some time out to chat with actor Henry Ian Cusick, who plays our elusive time-traveling hero, Desmond. And later in the podcast, executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse will flash back to the episode Flashes Before Your Eyes. They'll also share their own premonitions about next week's episode, Stranger in a Strange Land. That airs on Wednesday, February 21st, from 10 to 11 p.m. only on ABC, and the next day at ABC.com.
We were on an island.
We are on an island, mate. This is England.
No, it was real, man. I remember.
Hey, all right. It's just... This is why we don't do drugs.
No, this... I remember this. This all happened before. Today, did... This happened today. I remember that you said I wasn't worthy, and then I came down and I took off my tie, and then I lost my tie, and Penny said, where was it? And then it started to rain, and...
Born in Peru, raised in Trinidad, and now living in England. We're not talking about the history of Desmond, but rather the world-traveling Henry Ian Cusick, his real-life counterpart. Ian, as he prefers to be called, has had a long history of working in both theater and television. One of his recent roles was on last season's 24 as the German agent Theo Stoller, though, with the way Lost works, perhaps it was really Desmond in disguise. As we discover, though, joining Lost for him wasn't that big a deal.
My life changed completely. I've now live in Hawaii with my family, and, you know, my life is all about being outdoors and on the beach and swimming, and completely different from England.
When you first joined Lost, I mean, when we introduced your character at the beginning of season 2, did you have any inkling that your character would be a series regular and be as big as he is now?
No, not at all. I was a 3-episode arc, and that was it. That's all I knew. But when I arrived in Hawaii, I just thought, what a great job this would be, and as it went on. I thought, hang on, this character's not being killed off. Maybe he could come back. And then there was talk of him coming back, and then that sort of went flat for a while. And then when I did find out I was coming back in December of 2005, it was like, you know, it was fantastic. And but you know, at the beginning, you have no idea. You could only hope or wish, dream, and maybe I dreamt hard enough and made it happen. I don't know. I'm delighted. I really love the character of Desmond, just the fact that he keeps on going. He's quite heroic in that way. He just, head down, and he's walking up the hill step by step. You know, he's taking all his knocks, but he keeps on going. And, it's nice to play a heroic character like that, you know, without being, you know, traditionally, you know, the hero. He's quietly heroic, I think.
Thanks for the drink, pal.
Hey, I don't know what you're doing. You best tell us. Oi! Think because you turned some key that makes you a hero? No hero, brother. I don't know how you're doing what it is you're doing, but I know a coward when I see one. Yeah!
You don't want to know what happened to me! When I turned that key! You don't want to know!
Yeah.
Get off!
Don't want to know!
Get him off! You don't want to know!
When you do your episode, it's full on. You're there every day, and so your turnarounds, you don't get much time off, as opposed to when you're featured, you know, in one of somebody else's episodes. So it was tiring. You know, it was relentless. You're finishing late and starting early, and because of where the character was emotionally and mentally, it took its toll a little bit. I don't usually get tired by work, but in that one, I kind of thought, gee, I'm tired today, you know, but I think it kind of creeps up on you, you know, the sort of emotional and psychological places you are. You don't think that it's going to affect you as much as it does, and it did a little bit, I think. It was intense, you know, but that's what you want, you know. You want the intense stuff. You want to, and working with Jack's great. He doesn't, you know, he pushes you to try and go a little bit further than you think you can, and so it was great working with him to do, you know, to have him direct that episode.
You drowned trying to save her. I dove in myself so you never went in. I've tried, brother. I've tried twice to save you, but the universe has a way of course correcting, and I can't stop it forever. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because no matter what I try to do, you're gonna die, Charlie.
That was the most surprising thing. That was definitely the most surprising, you know, because if his psychic abilities are correct, then what? Is Charlie out? I don't know. Or how long? I suppose you can spin that out for a long time, but I have to say that was probably the most surprising thing.
Now that the universe has it out for Charlie, there's only a couple of people out there that can give him a reprieve. The writers. With that in mind, we turn it over to executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse.
Well, hello, folks. This is Carlton Cuse.
Hello, folks. Is that your name? Are we probably back in 1948?
I've got my banjo.
Wonderful. That's actually true. Hi, this is Damon Lindelof alongside Carlton Cuse with his banjo.
On my knee. I'm going to Alabama. Louisiana. That's Louisiana.
This is going well already.
Well, here we are. We're here to talk about Flashes Before Your Eyes, this last episode of Lost.
Wow. It seems like we wrote it only yesterday, and now it's been on the air, and everyone has seen it.
And kind of caused a lot of furor this episode.
Like Adolf Hitler, you mean? Or?
No. No, I think people
were furor.
Furor. God. Don't make me play this banjo.
People got excited about it. That should be a show on ABC. Don't make me play this banjo. Should be a reality show. I don't know what the premise is precisely, but
right after Nights of Prosperity. Don't make me play this banjo.
That will be your catchphrase.
That would be good. I mean, I think actually it's kind of the natural extension of American Idol, isn't it? Just people coming on and playing instruments badly or well.
Yeah, not wanting, you have to, you're like, don't make me play this banjo. It sounds like actually a catchphrase for like Arnold on Different Strokes. But
exactly.
Either or. So, none of this has anything to do with Flashes Before Your Eyes.
So talk about Desmond's flashback, Damon. I can't say Damon and Desmond in the same sentence here. Did he really go back, or is that still questionable? What are the implications of his vision, and will he be able to harness this power?
Yeah, I guess it wasn't really quite a flashback in the conventional sense of the way that we do flashbacks on the show. You know, the reality is this was more the experience that he had when he turned the failsafe key, and obviously as evidenced by certain future memories that he's having during his flashback. For the first time in the history of the show, we actually allowed a character to have an opportunity to make a different choice than they made before, and Desmond doesn't. He is course corrected by a certain mysterious older lady in a ring shop. So, what was your question?
No, that was fine. That was kind of an answer that pretty much covers it. Well, I suppose people want to know, well, what does this mean?
Did it really happen?
Yeah, did it really happen?
I think it really happened.
I mean, think it did too.
You know, one of the things that we try very rarely to do on the show is to play something as only having been imagined or dreamed. And, you know, I would say in the global sense of things that Desmond back in the year 1996 actually had that experience. Now, I would venture to guess that in future flashbacks of Desmond's that they would be treated as traditional flashbacks where he doesn't really have any awareness of his destiny. But in this particular instance, we went outside the box a little.
Right. I mean, I think it's entirely possible that he can have a traditional flashback story as well.
Absolutely. But I think what's interesting is there are certain things that happened the way that they used to happen that he changed as a result of being in the past that might sort of resonate over time, you know, like getting hit in the face instead of the bartender, or the fact that the photograph of he and Penny got taken the day that he broke up with her. Maybe in another incarnation there were two photographs, you know. Maybe there was a twofer. That would explain how she got one.
You seem a little somber today. Maybe a little banjo music would cheer you up.
don't make me ask you to play that banjo.
Here we go.
Wow. Wow, Carlton, you're good on that thing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I had no idea. You're like that incredibly disfigured kid in Deliverance.
I grew
and
up.
Oddly enough, that has nothing to do with your banjo playing.
I grew up with a banjo on my knee.
I have little doubt that that is true.
Should we just jump into some questions? Because people have a lot of questions about this episode, and we might as well. The questions are really the fun part anyway.
They are. Nobody really wants to hear us yammer about the show. So let's get to it.
All right. So this is from Jill Tarr. She's only posted one time in the last 90 days.
And she threw the dartboard. She threw the dart and she hit the bullseye on the first post.
Exactly. Well, I thought this was a question that we could actually answer as opposed to just sort of avoiding answering.
Okay.
And it was a plot. It was under the category of plot contradiction. And maybe she's alone, but maybe other people are confused as well. In a previous episode, when Desmond got out of prison, the guard said he was a disgrace to the Queen's army and, I think, a deserter. Now that Desmond was interviewing with the father of Penelope, he said he had no military experience. I think this is a contradiction. And I like the show and think it's well written, but they are trying to have too many subplots, by they, that means us, and it will be hard to tie it all together if the show goes on without conflicts and mistakes being made.
Right.
So I guess the question is, what's up with that? Was that a contradiction?
Well, Jill, it was not a contradiction, and in fact, you know, this story takes place before Desmond joined the military, and our effort to sort of try to show that is, before he breaks up with Penny, there is a short scene as he is walking by a recruiting station, and he sees a poster that basically says, you know, something about honor and decency, and that was our version of when he breaks up with Penny, he is going to go join the military, which is a flashback story to come.
Right, and in fact, we also were trying to sort of make it be known that, you know, Penny's father's comment about have you any military experience actually might be one of the things that motivates him wanting to join the army. That, you know, that Desmond starts to think that maybe that's something that will sort of make him a man of more substantial character, and, you know, that would be something that other people would value.
So, Jill, in this case, it was a setup and not a contradiction. That should be another game show, setup or contradiction.
That's good. I like that.
Here, speaking of gaffes, regarding that, Carlton, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Major clue or production slip by My Name is Unique 42. 20 posts in the last 90 days.
What is that voice?
I just think if you're going to go around saying my name is unique, you should move your head around and sort of add a little flavor, as they say.
Awesome.
When Desmond looks at the Army recruiting poster, it says honor. However, that is the American spelling. The correct English spelling is with a U, i.e. H-O-N-O-U-R. Is this a major clue that Desmond was not really back in England, or is it a production slip?
I think somebody in Hawaii needs an ass whooping.
My name is Unique 42. You just got someone fired. Congratulations. I hope you're happy.
There's an entire family of people who are now miserable.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
That was a mistake. Our bad. You caught us. If we had any prizes or gifts to send, we would send one to you, but we don't.
But what you don't know is that in London in 1996, there was a shortage of U's. So that might have had something to do with it, although highly doubtful.
It was a good try, though.
It was.
Two questions, Damon, from Mr. Echo.
Oh, wow. Ottawale.
Ottawale, checking in. Six posts in 90 days.
Good
two questions, both about the Ring Lady.
Yes.
One, is this the same actress who played a ghost/maid in the Nicole Kidman movie The Others?
Yeah, The Others. We should check out that movie. Yes, that is, I have trouble pronouncing her first name, but I believe it's Fanula.
Fanula
Flanagan is her last name. Yes. Yes, that is the same actress, correct.
And two, when said ring sales lady said, if Desmond doesn't go to the island and push the button, it will kill all of us. Does she mean everyone, humanity, or does she just mean people like her?
Wow. Everyone is in, like, older, matronly British.
Like, all the elderly, matronly British women of the world were at stake in that story.
I think what Mr. Echo is really asking is, does she mean you, Mr. Echo? Yes, everyone, as in the entire populace of this planet and any other to-be-discovered planets in future seasons.
Exactly. And, and Adewale, thank you for checking in, and we've got your stick.
If you need it. All right, Carlton. What does Rousseau really know? By Nerdy Lost Name. Two posts in the last 90 days. Hello, Damon and Carlton. I really enjoy your podcast. It's clear that Carlton wears the pants in the relationship. I think it's just
not
clear,
today.
I think it's just clear that Carlton wears the pants, period. I was just wondering when the Losties were going to wake up and realize that Rousseau knows a lot more than she's told them. When are they going to press her for answers? And even more tantalizingly, when could we possibly see a Rousseau flashback?
Well, I think it's a very good observation. I mean, Rousseau does know a lot, but they kind of think Rousseau's a nutter, and she hasn't really been giving them too many details. That she hasn't really said anything that's been of enough value for them to really want to press her for more answers. But probably if they did press her, she could tell them some stuff, but maybe it's because her weird sort of Croatian accent. Maybe that makes them not want to ask her questions.
I think that might have something to do with it.
And as for Rousseau's flashbacks, that's very much on the table for year four. We won't be doing that this year, but I think next year would be a good time to do a Rousseau flashback.
You might be seeing Rousseau pop up in someone else's flashback in year four, though.
Indeed, yes. I mean, I think, kind of getting to know a little bit more about Rousseau's 16 years on the island, I think, is something which we would love to, that's a story we'd love to tell as writers.
A whole season worth of stories.
An entire, yes, exactly. Maybe just that season four is all Rousseau.
We've always wondered how Montand lost his arm. I think America deserves to know.
God. Montand was also a very famous banjo player before he lost his arm.
Really? Wow, that must have been fairly limiting as a banjo player. I hope it wasn't his picking hand. Although, I guess either hand being lost. If you lose it, pretty much. Your banjo playing days are over.
Banjo playing is challenging. All right, Damon, here's a question for you.
There was that guy in Def Leppard who had one arm, and he was a pretty awesome drummer.
That's true, but guitar is a little harder to play with one arm.
Really? Why don't you give it a whirl right now? Wow! Hey, that's not bad. That's not bad. Not everybody can point to Chris and have him drop in a banjo cue like you either. Jacques Hughes.
Chris didn't do that. That's all me. Damon, The Old Woman is Juliet by Jankofobas. Well,
Jankofobas.
Okay. Maybe you'll write back and explain what that is all about. Remember the last episode when Juliet asked whose organs were in the pictures? She said the woman could be about 70 years old. The man answered that the woman's age was about 30. Then Juliet asked what had happened to the woman. I think that was she looking at her own pictures, but she didn't realize it. She will get old because of time travel. True?
False. I love questions like that. They're easy. False. With a capital F.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That's, you know what? That's been pretty good. We haven't really been dodging a lot of questions today.
And we've been really answering.
It's been pretty much answering the questions.
So I think I've got one last question for you here, Carlton. This is by Danny Loves Lost, one post in the last 90 days. Dear Mr. Q's and Mr. Lindelof, very formal. I have a few questions that I would like to ask you both. Firstly, could you please tell me any of the ideas that you've had that will not be included in the show that were originally supposed to be? For example, was there a character called Phyllis who secretly sold secrets to the Germans during the war? My second is...
There's a leak.
How long...
There is a source leak.
They know about it. They know about Phyllis.
Phyllis. God, dang it. How did that get out there?
My second is, how long before you write a storyline do you know you're going to do it? For example, when we first see Desmond in the hatch, did you know that he would come up back, that he would come back and blow it up, and then would gain powers from it, as we saw in last night's episode. Keep up the brilliant work, Danny Laws, Jarrow, which is where Patrick Stewart is from. I know that means nothing, but hey, there it is, England.
We love Patrick Stewart. Okay,
we do.
Let's just start right there.
Yes.
So that's cool.
We should end there as well. So let's start with that idea.
I think Patrick Stewart should be saying that he comes from where you're from. That would be better.
That would be awesome, although he might be slightly older than Danny, in which case time travel is involved.
Exactly.
How great would that be if you found like an interview from him from like 1983, and he's like, I'm from Jarrow, which is where Danny Laws hails from, and you weren't like even born yet.
That's fantastic. That would be really cool. We should do that.
We should.
That should be our show after we do the banjo.
After we do the Don't Make Me Play This Banjo.
So the question there was what?
Oh, how much advanced warning
oh,
did we do? Like when we first introduced Desmond, did we know that eventually he'd be fail-safing and having powers and all sorts of insanity?
We have to, I mean, the big picture mythology stuff, we have to figure it out ahead of time. I mean, it would be crazy to, you know, introduce a character like Desmond and not really know too much about what he was going to be doing. I mean, we don't figure out every single beat of what goes on with the characters, but the sort of big mythological beats, those are planned and plotted. And
well, we knew a lot about Penny because, you know,
yeah,
we showed her picture when we first saw Desmond leaving the hatch way back at the beginning of season two, and we didn't pay that off until the end of season two, and we certainly knew that there was a failsafe because that was going to be the only way to eventually get out of the hatch, and the implications of what happened when he turned the key specifically hadn't been worked out yet,
but we knew
what the idea of it was.
Exactly. He's calling for clarification right now.
Just like the rest of America.
And England. Yeah, and obviously, you know, putting Penny in the final scene of season two was also, you know, part of the bigger picture of their relationship, which will play out over the rest of the show.
Awesome.
That's cool. I got one last one for you.
Oh, please.
And then I think you need a cup of coffee and maybe a little stretch.
Boy, do I. Or some banjo music.
Either, okay, here's a little more banjo music for you.
That did it.
Fantastic.
Feeling much better.
Good. I'm glad. That's
Thanks.
One of my favorite pieces.
Thanks, Carlton. It's a piece of something.
Okay, so to DeMann and Carlton.
Oh.
DeMann.
Nice.
So
oh, wow.
That's cool, because you are DeMann.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question looking back to the second season, I believe is the episode, And Found. Jin and Echo are hiding under a bush as the others walk across the camera barefoot. The last to walk by is dragging a little teddy bear. The first time I saw this episode, it reminded me of The Lost Boys from Peter Pan, where the youngest boy, Michael, is always dragging a teddy bear through the woods. Is there any connection to that? And thanks for a good season so far, especially the Desmond episode the other night.
You're welcome. And no, there was no conscious effort on our part to, you know, we'll always take credit for something that we try to do. But in that case, although it's cool that the Lost Boys and our show is called Lost and it was the others with the teddy bear. But I seem to remember from the... From the cartoon of Peter Pan that, you know, that the youngest kid carries around a teddy bear, but I think that's a fairly common motif.
Yeah, we didn't consciously. I mean, sometimes, obviously, we are very conscious about sort of borrowing from other literary works that we admire, but in that case, that was an inadvertent borrow.
And in all likelihood, that's not a nuclear teddy bear like ours is.
Exactly. There's not a sentient nuclear device in that teddy bear in Peter Pan.
But there may be.
There might be.
But
anyway,
makes ours more badass.
I forgot to say that that was under the heading Lost Boys, and that was by Rock Forever 772. Three posts, last 90 days.
Carlton, you rock forever.
Well, thanks, Damon, and I'm going to play you a little banjo
off. Don't play that banjo. Should we just do a quick prehash of Stranger in a Strange
Land? Yeah, let's talk about that for 1 second.
Very, very quickly, this episode...
Who's that hot chick that they keep showing in the promos with Jack?
That would be Bai Ling.
And why is she in this episode? Is she on the island?
I don't know. It looks from the promos that she is on the island, but you never know with Lost.
That's true.
But I think that the ABC promo people have promised... that there will be three huge mysteries revealed in this episode.
Why do they do that? That just sets us up for, you know,
Carlton
ridicule.
And I, we're fairly sure that there is one big mystery revealed, which is how Jack got his tattoos.
The other two might just be sort of, you know, promo mania.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure that it, I would color that as a big mystery revealed. Yeah. Although we'll see some familiar faces. As you have been watching in promos for the last 9 months, we might be seeing Cindy? A certain member of the tail section.
Cindy?
Yes, Cindy.
Was I being? Were you being much coyer than I was?
And
Cindy,
and
the flight attendant.
And speaking of
from
teddy,
Australia,
we might be seeing that nuclear teddy bear again as well.
That's fantastic.
So
when will people on Lost know that it's a nuclear teddy bear?
When it's too late. The nice That's thing about fantastic. Having a nuclear teddy bear on the island is it can go off at any time. Just when we write ourselves into a corner, there's nothing... 24 has shown us this year that there's nothing like a good old-fashioned nuclear blast to arouse excitement.
I don't know what they have against Valencia. I mean, they must have something against Valencia in the same way that, you know, people in Tallahassee think we have some problem with Tallahassee.
We do have a problem with Tallahassee.
Do you want to clear that up? Once and for all, what the problem is with Tallahassee, or should we just leave that as an unsolved mystery?
We don't have a problem with Tallahassee. Tallahassee is a wonderful, wonderful city in the wonderful
if you like
state
waffles.
Of Florida. If you like waffles. No, Tallahassee is great. It just happens to be a nexus point where many of our characters have crossed paths. Which
like a hellmouth?
Yeah, like a hellmouth, which forces them to and Sawyer has negative feelings about Tallahassee, so...
We'd like to hear from any of you fans from Tallahassee about what are the sort of the strengths and weaknesses of Tallahassee.
I do feel like we're not doing a good job of arguing both sides of...
Tallahassee's... we haven't had the episodes yet where we've really seen the virtues of Tallahassee.
There is an episode this season coming up called The Man from Tallahassee.
But that one really won't make Tallahassee look any better, will it?
It probably won't. It'll only make it look worse.
I'm sure people like Tallahassee.
They're just, like any town or city in the entire world, there are bad people that come from that town. And it doesn't mean that they are bad because they're from Tallahassee, but it's possible that that's why they're bad. I'm just saying.
Okay. Let's just make sure we don't go driving through Tallahassee anytime soon. I'm sure it's nice. I'm sure it's a nice town. All right. Can I just ask you one more question? Can you talk about what? No, never mind.
All right.
I'll just play the banjo instead.
All right. Thanks, Carlton. I'll just... What a great podcast.
We'll see you guys
next
time.
See you next week, and we'll make sure that Carlton does not bring that banjo back.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of the official Lost podcast. We'll be back again next week with more commentary and insights from the writers and actors of Lost. Until then, you can always experience your own Lostian flashbacks by visiting abc.com to stream any of the episodes from this past season. Stranger in a Strange Land airs Wednesday, February 21st from 10 to 11 p.m. only on ABC.
This is for Mac McKinney. Mac, your chance has passed to play professional ball, but you can live vicariously through Vince Young's rookie year. You've obviously seen how he plays. Now see how he lives with AT&T Home Turf. Just go online to attblueroom.com/sports for exclusive access into your favorite athletes' worlds. See inside Vince's home and check out the AT&T technology that keeps him connected. So that's Mac's world. For everyone who's not Mac, if we can deliver his favorite quarterback to him, we've got what it takes to deliver your favorite athletes to you. The new AT&T. Your world, delivered.